comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I'm delighted to be here. I think you'll be delighted as well. We're here because you have a right to know and because you matter. One of the features that we have here on the show is called Flash Messages. And those exist for people outside of the USA and outside of Canada because making international long-distance calls can be very expensive, especially from some parts of the world. So they can send us a flash message and participate in the show. It's a good system, but it isn't perfect. It's not perfect. Last night, we got a flash message. It came in 3 minutes before the end of the show. Well, there's not time. I did read it, but there's not time to read it on the air and then deal with it, you know, answer the questions and comment on it and so forth. It was just too close to the end of the show. However, Nicholas from the UK, that's not your fault. The header shows the timestamp you sent it, and you sent it when we had 28 minutes left, but it did not arrive here until we had 3 minutes left. So I apologize to you. It does happen that way sometimes. It's not common. It's a little bit rare for that to happen, but once in a while a message gets hung up somewhere. And doesn't make it here instantaneously. Normally, it's pretty instantaneous. So anyway, Nicholas, my apologies to you, but we weren't ignoring you. We just didn't get it until it was too late. K-Files is our free weekly newsletter. If you're not getting it, you need to get it before it's too late. And the way you do that is go over to my website and click where it says K-Files and then subscribe. You'll get a message that has a link in it and an email message. Use that link to activate your subscription and you're good to go. All right, now let's see. What else is... Oh, yes. Mainstream media. Mainstream media continues to perpetuate the lie that UFOs are not real. And did you ever wonder, why do they do that? Why do they continue to giggle and smirk at UFO reports, if they even report? Well, tonight, we're going to get the chance to hear from a former mainstream establishment journalist who's come over to the side of reality. And he is writing professional journalism pieces now about UFOs. He's with us tonight. His name is Roger Marsh, and you've probably read some of his articles. Roger is not just a hip pocket writer. Roger is a trained journalist, master's degree in journalism, who's come over to the side of, let's get this truth out there. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back right after this. Well, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And as I said, my guest this evening is Roger Marsh. We're really very privileged to have him with us this evening. I've been reading his articles now for at least a year. When I talked with him on the telephone, he said he's been publishing those for about 3 years. He is formerly what I would call an establishment writer and publisher, and by that I mean he worked for an establishment publishing house. And we'll let him tell us all about that if he wants to. And but here in the last 3 years, he's been publishing articles as a professional journalist, a trained journalist, professionally written articles about UFOs. And not just about UFOs, but a specific focus on the UFO genre. We'll let him explain that in just a minute. Roger, welcome to the show. We're delighted to have you with us this evening.
Hey, Kevin. Very glad to be here.
Roger, as I said, I've been reading your articles for at least a year. And, you know, I've always been impressed with the fact that you just report the statements of fact. You know, I mean, it's you just report them, and
right.
you don't seem to try and bend it one way or the other. You've come from an establishment background. You want to tell us about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, basically, I was in mainstream journalism over the years. I've worked as a writer, as an editor. Spent most of the 90s in book publishing, worked for two of the top publishing houses, you know, in America. And I just got to a point where I had an opportunity. I had been in Chicago for 20 years, which is a great market out there, a great city. But I had an opportunity to get out of the big city and just move to a small town and kind of downsize a little bit. And maybe spend the second half of my life doing something that I really enjoy. And having a, you know, bachelor's and a master's degree in journalism, I thought, I looked around at mainstream journalism, and most of the UFO stories tended to be around, like, late October, you know, scary Halloween stuff, or just kind of spotty news here and there. And none of it really taken, you know, that seriously. So I got in touch with the Mutual UFO Network and, you know, advised them that, hey, this is what I want to do. I want to be full-time writing. And then specifically, I picked for my own genre within ufology, because it's a huge field. You know, you could be writing about, you know, foreign reports, but I decided to just stick with the domestic reports and just the incoming reports on a day-to-day basis. What are people seeing every day?
Well, that's one of the reasons I like the articles that you write. You know, I say on this show all the time that when was the last time you saw a cow and then allowed someone to convince you it was a Cadillac? But it happens in ufology all the time. Either someone sees something that 100 people looking at it would have said that's a plane, but this person says, no, it was a UFO.
Right.
And then, you know, they let someone convince them away from their position. Or
right.
The other way around. 100 people see something that they tell you there's no way that can be a plane. Certainly not a plane like we're accustomed to, because if so, it flew sideways. Okay. That sort of thing. And then they allow someone to convince them away from it. Now, I want to throw this out, and then I want to get to the heart of the matter here. But this is an example. I watched it again today. A few years ago, 3, 4, 5 years ago, the Mexican government authorized the release of a videotape that had been taken by one of their aircraft. Now, this videotape showed 11 UFOs, but this is a videotape taken with infrared. It's not visible light. The crew on this plane never saw anything except on their radar and on infrared. But when it got reported here in the United States, I watched it, and I'll name names. It was Fox News.
Fox News, okay.
11 points, bright points of light. That's what they said. Absolute fiction. Absolutely fiction. There was never any bright point of light, let alone 11 bright points of light. They could not be seen except with infrared. And but that's the way it got reported here. And at least they put it on, but I mean, with such inaccuracy and, in my opinion, such stupidity. But at least they put it on the air.
Right.
So here's the question. Now, that's an example of really bad media reporting, in my opinion. But in addition to that, we have the giggles, we have the smirks, and then we have the complete silence where they just won't talk about them. Why?
Right.
Why is establishment media pulling that stunt?
It's a top-down kind of a thing. I know that I've worked in newsrooms over the years, and you just did not go to your editor and want to be covering anything in the paranormal. I mean, it could be Bigfoot, it could be UFOs, anything that was considered falling under that category of paranormal. You know, and again, maybe around Halloween or something, just to have a little fun, you know, in mainstream. And I will say they're getting each year it seems like the mainstream's getting a little bit better. But even if you look back over the last 2-3 years, the producers of these TV shows, these news shows, and you kind of referenced it there, but they can't help but to stick in to these reports phrases like little green men, or you'll have the anchor at the office, and at the end of the story, he or she kind of smiles, and they do the wonderful, you know, beam me up, Scotty, kind of a thing, and the guy disappears off the set, and, you know, the theme music to a, you know, the X-Files is way overused.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, look, I mean, I do have a sense of humor, and I can laugh at myself, and I really can. As a matter of fact, I was raised in Texas. And, you know, there are people who think, well, if you tell redneck jokes around someone from the South, they're going to be offended. Well, I guess some of them might be. I love them. I love redneck jokes. And somebody sent me some yesterday, and I just sat here and laughed for several minutes as I was reading that long page of redneck jokes. I can laugh at myself, and I have a sense of humor. But when it comes to a phenomena that by now literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions, around the world have said, we have seen this. And that includes some generals, that includes some prime ministers, that includes some presidents of the United States. And then you have some guy in a newsroom, some producer or anchor in a newsroom, that has decided this is paranormal. That's para-stupid.
Right.
If a thing reflects light and can be photographed, then it's not paranormal. You may not know what it is. It's unidentified, but it's not paranormal. And for them to classify it that way is just para-stupid. But I'll tell you this. Even if they don't classify it as paranormal, they're still not going to report it. They're not going to talk about it unless they make fun of it. And I'm glad you brought up the little green men. You know, the media made that up. Nobody in ufology ever made up little green men. That was the media. That's just like flying saucers. That was a reporter that made that up. That isn't what Kenneth Arnold described.
Right.
Not at all. He described bat wing type craft. And he described their movement as if you were skipping saucers across the water. So a reporter called it flying saucers. And then all of a sudden, it was flying saucers everywhere. And then they bring the straw argument. Do you believe in flying saucers? No, of course not. Nor do I believe in little green men.
Well, mainstream, like, I hope they get over it someday, maybe in the next few years, and they start assigning more people out there in the field. Right now, it just seems like they need it to fit nicely into a package. You know, they need to see a building being blown up, or, you know, Navy vessels being sunk. You know, they need something that fits their norm. And nothing about ufology is fitting into a norm. It just, the closer you look at it, Kevin, the weirder it gets.
Well, yeah, you're right, except I would say this. If a person's version of what's normal doesn't fit what's real, and they stick with that version of what's normal, that's called insanity. That's right. Dissociative behavior. For instance, if you think it's normal that you can walk on water and you step off of a cruise ship, well, you're going to die. Okay, because the reality is different from what you think is normal.
Right.
And they've constructed this thing in their heads about what they think is normal, and it doesn't fit reality. It doesn't fit the world we actually live in, and that may be why they are in the toilet when it comes to Arbitron ratings.
Right. I mean, they're used to reporting on things they can catch, and they can't catch a UFO.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, by God, we even caught Osama bin Laden finally, you know, after a few years, but they can't isolate it. And the producers want footage. I mean, it's all about ratings. You know, I know they're news outlets, but it's still all about ratings. And how can you report on something that you can't show your audience? That's another part of the problem. Most of what you have in ufology today is witness testimony, which is what I decided to specialize in.
Well, I know you focus on domestic cases here in the United States.
Yes.
But you were talking about news producers and news agencies. They want something that they can catch, that they can get on film, that they can, or on video, that they can show their audience. You know what? China doesn't seem to have a problem doing it.
No, from what I've been seeing on the internet.
And they report it.
Right. It's getting quite a bit of coverage over there.
Yeah. So maybe these news crews need to go to China and learn how to use a camera.
Well, and the cases that they do pick up on, Kevin, just amaze me sometimes. They'll pick up on something because they think they can get footage. And, you know, I don't want to maybe point to any particular case, but there was a case last summer that MUFON declared that what the witness was looking at, it was airplanes landing. And, you know, nobody wants that kind of an explanation. And I could have gone to that same network and given them a dozen stories, but I have no video, you know, to hand them. But I can say, hey, look, you know, we're having a run on these giant rectangular, you know, objects right now. They act just like the disc or the triangle or the sphere, where they come in, there's no sound, they move in ways that show that there's some kind of an intelligence behind it, and they move in ways that the aircraft that we've built, it's just not one of ours, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I could give them a dozen of these, just from probably, you know, 1 month, you know, great cases, great witnesses, but they're not lining up, Kevin.
Yeah, I realize that. And, you know, you and I talking about it, it helps me. It gets it off of my chest, you know, and I get a little Freudian relief here just by being able to talk about it. But we're not going to change them. And as far as I can see, they're not going to change. They're going to ride their model right down into the toilet. They're sticking with the Model T. It doesn't matter. That's what Grandpa drove, and you know that's how Grandpa reported, and that's what they're going to do. And they're going to stick with it till they're gone. And they're going. Their audience is just about gone. I mean, it's
right,
unbelievable. Newspaper audiences are gone.
Even if you look just in the last year, Kevin, just go back 1 year, and look at the work of Robert Hastings and Leslie Kaim. Leslie Kaim's book, I don't have the title in front of me here, but she got a lot of top-level military people from all over the world.
Yeah.
Most of them probably retired now, but they're all talking. Robert Hastings, his book on UFOs and nukes, same thing. But it's all domestic cases of how UFOs have been hovering for decades over our nuclear arsenals all over the country, and they're actually shutting them down. And in fact, his most recent report was a couple of cases that he was able to track down where we were testing nuclear missiles. So they weren't actually loaded. And I believe in one of the cases, three of the missiles were sent out, and two of them were intercepted by a group of UFOs, and those missiles vanished. One of them was allowed to get to its destination. And I don't understand it. Robert Hastings held a press conference at the Washington Press Club, if I have that correct. That would have been October of last year, 2010.
Yeah.
And really, what came of it? I mean, he brought witness after witness after witness in. These are retired base commanders in many cases. And very little coverage was done. I'm just amazed. Between his work and Leslie Kaim's work, and her book, by the way, is a New York Times bestseller, we're not seeing anything. We're not seeing a regular reporter from the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. Washington Post, where are you? You know, I don't understand.
Yeah, well, it's good for me and for my show that these people are ignoring their public. All right, we have to step away for a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes, and we'll have more to get into here with our guest this evening, Roger Marsh, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Roger Marsh. Roger, we could go on all night about the ills of mainstream media, but I want to move on, but I can't move on without saying the ills and the outright lies and fiction,
right.
Because I have caught them at it. I've been on the spot where something happened and then watched the report. And the report was not just fuzzy in details. The report was manufactured. Anyway, let's talk about you and your reports. You've chosen to focus, in writing about UFOs, you have chosen to focus on witness reports. Why? Why did you choose to focus on the witness reports?
Well, I just think, Kevin, over the years, when I was growing up in the 60s and 70s, trying to find information about UFOs, it was generally specialty magazines like Fate magazine, that kind of thing. And I think what got me most was the quotes, the actual witness testimony, when I could either see on television or read in print an actual person who had been there up close and center, and they had actually seen something, I was glued. And I thought, well, you know, I looked around this country, and MUFON is probably the largest database of incoming reports. And that's at MUFON.com. Anyone can go in 24/7 and look at the incoming reports. It's kind of neat. There's also the National UFO Reporting Center. Peter up there in Seattle does a great job. I don't believe Peter actually gets involved in the investigation, and he takes in the reports. But MUFON, on the other hand, would be the largest study group in the country. So there I had my database. And I think there was probably a frustration, even within MUFON, openly admitted, a lot of investigators did not like me in the beginning coming in and reporting. But what you have also in this country is a lot of people who are doing cut-and-paste jobs. They're just grabbing the incoming reports. There's no attribution. There's no analysis. You know, there's not, you know, it's not good journalism.
So is that why they resented you in the beginning?
At least take the time to sift through the reports. Like yesterday, for example, there were 14 reports that came in. Two of them were doubles, so I dropped down to 12. Two people were reporting UFOs in a photograph where they had not seen the UFO at the time they took the photograph. Those are mainly about 90% bird photos, so I dropped those. And I usually drop the ones that are, you know, way out, you know, tiny little specks, and look for the more interesting ones. So I had three reports yesterday, three or four. But that to me is the most exciting. I feel like I'm on the front line, because with UFOs, you just never know where they're going to pop up. It's about like tracking an airliner from New York to L.A., and we can see different points along the way, you know, the exact path that it's going. They almost appear as though they're like interdimensional, where they kind of just appear in a particular airspace and move around, and then suddenly they just, boom, they either shoot away at an enormous speed, or they just actually, very common lately in reports, they just disappear right in front of witnesses' eyes. So to me, that was the most exciting place to be. And after everyone at MUFON, I think, got to know me and thought that the level of reporting is good, you know, I'm now very well accepted at MUFON. And I'm actually moving on now to go back and look at the incoming reports that I'm already covering to see the end of the investigation.
All right. Which, now, you also...
Say the best we can do is to declare case an unknown.
You also, Roger...
...or anything that Mother Nature...
I don't think he can hear me.
Up. At that point, we just don't know.
Roger, can you hear me?
So, yes.
Okay. You also did a stint as a radio host. You had a show called UFO Traffic Report,
yep,
where you were doing the same sort of thing, but on the radio, and you actually got were able to contact some of these witnesses and get them to come on the show and talk with you about what they had seen.
Yes.
I want you to talk about that, but first I want to ask you this. Since you are so excited about witness testimony, I assume that you buy eyewitness testimony as good testimony, which I do, and you don't buy the oft-repeated mantra these days by the disinformation debunk specialists,
right,
that eyewitness testimony is some of the worst evidence there is. It's not. It's some of the best there is.
Right.
In my opinion. So talk to us about that and about your radio show.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you just have a handful of testaments from witnesses, you know, you really don't have much to go on. But with, you know, the computer and iPhones and everything today, we're communicating at a much faster rate. So I'm able to get, you know, most days four or five good pieces of testimony, you know, from an eyewitness who was right up close on something. So the excitement of the radio show, which I had for personal reasons, I had to shut down for a while, but I was up about 6 or 7 months. And what we did is I just did my reporting, you know, during the week, you know, Monday through Friday. And any case that looked, you know, semi-interesting, we would get in touch with the state director, the MUFON state director, and ask if then he or she would put us in touch with the field investigator, and then from there, you know, right to the witness. And I, Kevin, I got to tell you, we were very rarely turned down if we went after a case. And we did a 90-minute show. You know, top of the hour, I did a 15-minute traffic report where I kind of rounded up. It was a weekly show, so I would round up in 15 minutes, you know, the top UFO sightings from the last week. And then I would bring in usually one guest for an hour. And then if I had something else going on, maybe the last half hour, we might bring in another case. But we even had a couple cases, Kevin, where the witnesses returned to the site right where they saw the UFO. I mean, one case, it was the guy's backyard. But another case, a father and son had to go out in Texas, like out into the field with their cell phones. That was very exciting. You know, it's almost like you're right there at the scene with them. So that was an exciting show, and it's in redevelopment right now. And we might be making an announcement in the next month or so, probably, about getting back to that.
Well, the reason that's interesting to me is there is a myth out there that people who have seen UFOs do not wish to go public. They do not wish to talk about it. And that's true sometimes. But there are witnesses that are not afraid to talk about it and are willing to. Would you say the majority of these eyewitnesses were willing to talk with you on the air about it?
Yeah, and let me just mention up front that when you file a report, a UFO report with MUFON, your identity is protected. We could just say, hey, and, you know, make up a name. It's, you know, John and Sandra from Virginia, you know, if that's all you want. Other people are, it's whatever you're comfortable with. But we find that most people will let us at least name the town that they're in. And Kevin, it's not limited to just the younger people now. I was, in fact, just telling you about a case, I believe that was out of Virginia in the last year. It was a retired couple, and they were cleaning up in the kitchen after dinner, and the wife said, hey, what's that light in the backyard? Husband, you know, these people are retired, they're up there in years, and you would think they would fall into the earlier category, like, hey, you know, I'm not crazy. But, you know, he did go out in the backyard, and there was a giant rectangular object, perfectly silent, hovering about 3 or 4 feet off the ground. He was able to look at it for a couple of seconds, and then it just sort of shifted position a little bit, and then shot. It's sort of the bat out of hell line, which I get a lot from witnesses out there. It just took off. And I had this guy live on my show, and I don't really go the humorous route, you know, too often with especially with testimony, but I had to say to the guy, what did you tell your wife when you went back inside the kitchen? You know, because he had to go out and look over a fence to see this. And he kind of chuckled. So we moved on with it, but
let's talk about these rectangular UFOs for a moment. You know, something, not only rectangles, but cubes and pyramids are being reported. All right, but the rectangular, when you mention that, an old case came to mind. And this is a case, I wish I could remember where it was, but the police departments in, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 counties followed this thing, but it was rectangular. And
was that the case in Illinois, Southern Illinois?
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was rectangular. That was a long time ago.
Bill Burns.
Uh huh. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've had the rectangular ones, but they haven't been really prevalent. What about now? How prevalent are they?
it's kind of weird, Kevin. It's like we go through phases, and when I say phases, I'm simply looking again at the incoming testimony. What, you know, what is current? Like, I'm going to take a gamble here. I don't have notes in front of me, but like the beginning of this year, the first quarter, January, February, March, we probably had a real high increase of triangle UFOs. I would say a couple of months ago, 6-8 weeks ago, we were getting an influx of cigar-shaped ones. And then all of a sudden, it just, boom, we're seeing the rectangle pop up. And the rectangle was kind of in the rare list, just not that often. The same with the cigar over the years. If you go back to the 60s and 70s, it was primarily the disc, and then all of a sudden, boom, the triangle is introduced. Man, we have a lot of testimony all over the country. And I don't mean just you're looking up in the sky and the dang thing's, you know, 5-10,000 feet. I mean, you take the case of the horse rancher out in Oklahoma. You know, I'm taking care of her horses late at night, and these things creep up on you. They can be anywhere from 30, 50, 60 feet across, and they could be, you know, 500 to 1,000 feet across. But this thing just kind of slunk up on her, and she turned around and noticed it and kind of freaked out, jumped in the pickup truck, you know, and kind of got out of Dodge. So I can't tell you why they're popping up right now, but just in the weirdest places, suddenly the rectangle lately.
Well, now, have they, any of the witnesses, because you're reading these reports daily, any of the witnesses that have seen these rectangles, have they talked about any kind of specific characteristics of it that are maybe a little different, other than being rectangle, rectangular?
We tend, Kevin, to get the same basic description before people. I mean, that might be the first thing they say. Hey, I saw a rectangular, you know, shaped object, very sharp edges. But mainly, the witness is usually utterly amazed that it's perfectly silent. Number one. And number two, that it might move, you know, extremely fast, you know, off in the horizon, right to your location, like on a dime, it stops. And it's just hovering, it's just sitting there, and you're looking at this gigantic object, and you're wondering, why doesn't it fall out of the sky?
All right, we have to step away for a break. Ladies and gentlemen, we shall return in just a moment with more with Roger Marsh. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Roger Marsh. Roger, you were saying that these rectangular UFOs seem to be perform pretty much in the same way as all the others. Nothing really special about them except just kind of an unusual shape for a UFO.
Exactly. I'm not seeing anything in the witness testimony that would be anything different than a triangle.
Mm-hmm.
I know that a lot of people, I said this to you earlier, they try to Hollywoodize these things. And if I were Steven Spielberg, probably I would use the rectangles or the cigars, probably for freight, moving freight around. But unfortunately, I have no idea why that particular shape, just that they're popping up right now.
Well, you know, one thing it proves, if they're moving in pretty much the same fashion as the oval shapes and the triangle shapes, one thing it proves is that aerodynamics is not important to them.
Correct. Right. We're not seeing fins on them or anything like that.
Yeah. Why do you think it's important to report on this?
Well, I personally, just all the research I've done in my life, it just seems like the phenomena has always been around. You can read a book on, UFOs in the Bible, go that far back, and then anywhere in between, and you'll see some kind of reporting, whether it's etched, under the side of a cave or in a pyramid. So the signs are out there that it's been around. It gets weirder when, like mainstream would say, well, we're not going to step in and report this until they start blowing up buildings or, taking over Tokyo, something like, something that they would want to, jump into. But people are asking every day in ufology, what are they up to? Well, then there's that other level, which would be alien abduction. And, of course, we just lost, Bud Hopkins just died just a few weeks ago, one of the top people in that field.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole genre, as a writer, you could specialize just in that type of witness testimony. So if you want to know what they are up to, that is one possibility. But
why do you think it's important to report on it?
Well, because it's just another piece of the news cycle. It's there, and we have enough witness testimony. Well, like you said, don't tell me a cow is a Cadillac. Well, I'm looking at something, and I had my own sighting in 1973, where I was within probably about 30 feet of a disc-shaped object.
Now, are you sure, or was it possibly a Chinese wedding candle?
Well, I got to tell you, it left me in awe, and thank the Lord there were a dozen people with me, and it just moved toward my location, went right over top of me, and totally silent. And you're wondering, it's only moving along, clipping there about 5-10 miles per hour, and this was in southwestern Pennsylvania. It was following the lay of the land about 30 feet, right above the telephone wires, just barely. Or the treetops, let's say, and moving around. But my part of the country, of course, 73, 74, there was a huge influx of UFOs during that period. So I know that I was not alone.
Let me tell you why I think it's important. I think there are a lot of reasons, and it's important on a lot of levels. But number one, it's happening.
Yeah.
That's the number one thing. It's happening. And if it's happening, it needs to be reported on.
Kevin, let me give you one other side of it. Is most people, honestly, they don't know where to report a UFO. In ufology, we like to say that probably, and we're only guessing, that only about 5% of UFOs that are seen on a day-to-day basis are actually reported. I mean, could you imagine the data if everybody would start reporting what they're seeing?
Well, it would be tremendous. It really would. Okay, the number one reason, it's happening. If it's happening, it needs to be reported on because, and this is number two, if people think that it's happening only in an isolated area, their area where they saw it, they're not aware that it's happening everywhere. Then the tendency toward a panic response is heightened when you think you're being targeted by anyone for anything. The tendency towards panic is heightened. Okay, so by doing professional reporting on this and letting people know that it's happening, but it's happening all over the country. They feel less picked on, less targeted, even if they're worried about it, there's less of a tendency towards panic. If we don't have that safety valve, a tendency towards panic eventually develops into a tendency towards chaos.
Right.
And so, in my opinion, the suppression of this, the official suppression, and then the news media suppression of it, is something that is really pushing the country toward more panic, more chaos, and it's irresponsible, and really it's criminal. I think it
right.
should be anyway.
Right.
And by reporting on it, it's a safety valve.
Right.
Secrets are power. Knowledge is freedom.
Right.
So reporting brings us more freedom.
Exactly.
That's why I think it's important that this be talked about, that it be reported on.
Right.
This is outside of your genre, but let me just throw this in. There is also something else happening that mainstream media will not, oh, I won't say they won't touch it. They do once in a very great while, and that's this Morgellons or Morgellons disease.
Okay.
And it has all the earmarks of either coming right out of a government secret lab or it's extraterrestrial, and one or the other. It could be both, who knows. But the point is, they won't touch it, and it's spreading and spreading and spreading, and they won't touch it. Well, you know, what happens is the news media, the government, everybody involved in the suppression of information, eventually the public gets to a point where those people are viewed as irrelevant to life. They're just irrelevant to my life.
Right.
How can you govern when you're considered irrelevant by the governed?
Right. And don't you want to know how your tax dollars are being spent?
I gave up on that when I was three. When I was three, I knew better by then.
But we have eyewitness reports, Kevin. Every week they're coming in where... It's not every case, but you'll have a case like we just had two cases in September, coincidentally on the same day, September 1st, where we have military jets are seen pursuing two UFOs over North Carolina. You know, and there was another case the same day in Virginia, up in the Rockbridge County, Virginia area. Again, you know, the witnesses are seeing a UFO, and then they're seeing it being pursued by military, yet you can't get anything out of the military.
No. We never have. Well, that's not true. We used to get information out of them up until about 1955.
Right, right.
And then their attitude was, go away, leave me alone, I'm busy. There's
right.
nothing to this. All right, we have to step away for break. We'll return right after this. We got a couple of things yet to talk about, and then we'll open the phone lines for you. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. I'm delighted you're here. My sincere sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you away for that first hour, but we're glad you're here now. My guest this evening is one of America's top journalists in the UFO field, Roger Marsh. He is a professional journalist. He used to be over on the establishment side of the fence, and now is over here on whatever side of the fence it is that we're on. You know, we tend to talk about mainstream media, and really, they're not too mainstream anymore. Just all you have to do is look at the poll statistics and Arbitron ratings, and they're pretty much out in the pasture by themselves now. But nevertheless, we still call them the establishment media. And Roger brings the skills and professionalism of that side of the fence to our side of the fence. And I'll tell you what, I think it's very, very important. Now, Roger, you earlier mentioned that you talked about working with MUFON and getting access to information in the database and so forth for your reporting. So that brings up, a very naturally, organically grown question here. And that is, are you an independent journalist, or are you tied to MUFON in some way officially?
Well, it's a little bit of both, Kevin. I originally approached them and said, hey, look, I'm an independent journalist, and I do make a living off of it. I do get paid. But I wanted to join the organization so I could get inside, learn about them, and just, it's a great group of people, you know, all over the country. So, again, it's a little bit of both. I think that MUFON probably sees me as somebody who's out there every day getting the name out, because probably about 99% of everything I cover is coming through MUFON. And I know that, you know, they have acknowledged that, you know, they like the level of reporting. It probably hasn't been done before. In fact, I'm positive it hasn't been done at the effort that I've been doing it, you know, the regularness, where it's, I like to say Monday through Friday, but I can't keep my notes out of the database on the weekends usually, mm-hmm. either. So it's a little bit of both.
Now, you don't receive...
I do officially volunteer for them, and I am now officially a field investigator. So they do actually give me my own cases that just started a few weeks ago.
Okay. But you don't receive UFO reports, do you? In other words, if somebody sees a UFO and they write to you or call you and want to file a report with Roger Marsh, the journalist, you don't do that, right?
Well, I tell people I don't do it, but I actually can't help it. And, of course, I just push all the UFO reports back over to MUFON. But, Kevin, here's typically what happens. You know, somebody in the country sees a UFO. They have no idea how to report it. They run inside to their computer, and they Google, you know, triangle UFO Montana. Inevitably, one of my stories pops up. There's my phone number. There's my email address. You know, boom. You know, I get the report. I push it over to MUFON. But, Kevin, something more interesting, let's say we get a report in fact, I just got a report up in Michigan. This was just a few days ago. And within hours, a second group of people reported also to MUFON. I get an email from a group over the border in Canada. They read my story after they had the same sighting. So I was able to take them and say, hey, look, you need to be talking to the investigators in Michigan, and everybody get together. That happens, Kevin, every week. It's constantly. My email box, I probably get, you know, at least 5 or 10 reports a week that are original reports coming in, and then I probably get another 5 or 10 reports where, hey, I saw the same thing. You know, that's my sighting, but somebody else is reporting it maybe 30 miles east of me.
So if somebody called you and said, you know, I just saw this thing, you would go ahead and listen to their story, but then you would tell them to file their report at the MUFON site? Is that how you do it?
Well, I prefer not to take the phone calls. I did that my first year. And you can really tie up a huge piece of your day that way.
Mm-hmm.
Each person coming in, you might be on the phone with them an hour or two, just getting the information. So I don't promote it. And in every article I say, you know, if you see a UFO, please report it to the Mutual UFO Network at MUFON.com. Uh-huh. Trying to push it all over there. But, yeah, I think, Kevin, if you go back 3 years, I think I got excited the first couple times something original was coming. But really, if we all don't get together in this country, and if we're not organized about these reports, if we just have individuals across the country taking the reports, it's kind of loses its value a little bit, because you have nothing to compare it to. If we could get everything into the larger database, you know, more data. Information is power.
Well, that brings up another reason I think it's so important to report what people are seeing. Here's the reason. The government, in my opinion, the government is never going to do a disclosure. To step to the microphone and say, yeah, it's real. I mean, there's a whole current of high crimes and misdemeanors that have been committed to keep it a secret.
Right.
And to admit that it's real will be to basically raise your hand and plead guilty to high crimes and misdemeanors. So they're never going to do it. Okay. But I have said many, 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 many times that who cares? You know, I don't need the government to pat me on the head and say, yep, that was a puppy dog. You know, when I see a puppy dog, I know it's a puppy dog. I don't need them to confirm it. And the same thing is with UFOs. You know, we see them. We know what we saw. We may not be able to identify what we saw, but we understand. We know what our eyes saw, and we can describe what our eyes saw. Okay. Now, if we just take the time to investigate these things, some of them will be weeded out, some will not. Some will remain as unknowns. But every time you come up with a real unknown, you've added a piece to the puzzle. You've inserted a tiny little piece in a giant puzzle.
Right.
And the picture is growing. And we've reached a point now where when it comes to UFOs and extraterrestrial presence, those two subjects are not necessarily linked, but on those two subjects, we've reached a point now where we've got enough of the picture that the government's pretty much irrelevant.
Right, right.
And, you know, and we need to keep going until we get the whole picture.
Yeah, I'm right there. It's going to take some more journalists around the country stepping in. And it really takes regular reporting, Kevin. You can't just step in and do the Halloween story.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, those are coming. October's coming. You have to do it year-round. So, you know, my reports, of course, are all housed over at examiner.com. If anybody wants to read me, they just go to examiner.com and in their search engine just type in UFO. I'll pop up as the first link. And the Examiner has other writers also around the country covering UFOs. I'm the national editor for them over there. But I'm hoping we'll see more and more outlets, you know, getting people full time, because there's so many facets of this area. It's a fascinating subject. We need more writers. So, I'm helping more people jump in.
All right. Let me do a couple of things here. Number one, folks, if you have a question or a comment for Roger Marsh, we want you to have the opportunity to participate in the conversation. So here's the telephone number, 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. It does not matter whether you're calling from east of the Rockies or west of the Rockies, okay? You call that number, it will transport you right here to the studio. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can call that number and we'll be glad to talk with you. But we understand it can be quite expensive to do that. So if you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada, you can send me a flash message with your question or comment. You do that by going to my website. Scroll down till you see the picture about tonight's show, and right above that picture, you'll see the link that says flash message. All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
Hi. Mr. Marsh, these UFO witnesses that you interview, do they ever mention the Men in Black, or have you yourself ever experienced any type of interference or harassment?
That's kind of rare. Personally, I mean, I was warned, I got to tell you, 3 years ago that, you know, there might be, because other ufologists I know around the country who have been in this for years have been approached. Their investigations have actually been, you know, looked into by just odd people showing up. And I know that MUFON itself had a case, I believe, I'm going to say Florida, earlier this year, where there were people poking around that we weren't sure who they were. Personally, Jerome, I've never been bothered. Nobody's knocked on my door. But I do know people that were suspecting that their telephones were being tapped or they were being followed, you know, that kind of a thing, that, you know, kind of the Men in Black theme. But yeah, I haven't seen it myself.
How about your radio show? Is that an internet show, or was it an internet show?
Yeah, it's in fact, the website is still up. It's just ufotrafficreport.com. You can actually go there and, you know, go into the archives and listen to some of the past shows that I did. And we are going to crank that one back up here, I'm sure, in the next month or so.
Well, that's
you'll
good.
Be seeing more of that.
Anyway,
what part of Pennsylvania are you from, Jerome?
I'm from southwestern PA. Actually, Monaca, Pennsylvania.
I'm sorry, where?
Monaca.
Oh, Monaca. Okay, I'm in southwestern Pennsylvania myself.
What part is that?
I'm south of Pittsburgh, down in the Greensburg, Latrobe, Scottsdale area. Down in West Warwick County.
Is that where you witnessed the your UFO incident?
Yeah, that was back in 1973, and you might know the name Stan Gordon. He's been kind of independent, Pennsylvania UFO investigator. He and I edited the book with him that just came out last October called Silent Invasion, the Pennsylvania UFO Bigfoot handbook, or casebook, excuse me. And that just delves into what happened here in southwestern Pennsylvania, 73-74. But there's been a lot of activity in this part of Pennsylvania. Last year or two, of course, Bucks County over by Philadelphia has been getting a lot more sightings than we have in southwestern. But they're still coming in, Jerome. Every month we're getting sightings. And Stan gets a lot of the Pennsylvania reports also independently.
Mm-hmm. The reason I ask you about the interference is, I guess, as you know, Kevin Smith's show, he's continually being harassed, and us regular listeners are well aware of it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was not aware of that, but yeah,
well,
far with me.
Roger, let me tell you, you have more government computers listening tonight than perhaps you've ever had listened to you. We average around 200 to 205 government computers per night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, everybody, NASA's listening, the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, the U.S. Army, the U.S. Air Force, they're all listening, even right down to the Center for Disease Control.
Wow.
They all tune in and listen.
Well, thank you, Mr. Marsh, for being a guest on the Kevin Smith Show, and thank you, Kevin.
All right, you're welcome.
Great, thanks, Jerome.
I don't feel threatened by that. I wish every government agency would listen. I'm looking for listeners, no matter who they are, who they work for.
Right.
It's fine with me. I don't
That's
mind.
Right.
Yeah. 623-444-5889 is the telephone number. Folks, it's an opportunity to talk with one of the top journalists in this country when it comes to UFOs especially. And, you know, we often talk about, as Roger, as you and I talked about at the beginning of the show, we often talk about how the media really sucks like a Hoover when it comes to UFOs. But, folks, here's someone doing something about it. and you have an opportunity here. 623-444-5889. And if you are outside of the USA and you are outside of Canada, you have the opportunity to participate through using either the telephone number or the flash message option on my website. So just go over to my website and click where it says flash message if you're outside of the USA and outside of Canada. If you're inside, use the telephone, 623-444-5889. Roger, this whole thing about interference, you know, it seems like it kind of comes in waves, and I've almost gotten to the point with my show that I think it's the waves, is they got a new crop of trainees, you know, and they get a new crop of trainees and they cut them loose on alternative media shows to see what can they do. And, you know, we actually caught that. They do tap my telephone lines. And we actually, I had Marshall Masters on one night. We caught them, these guys, morons, apparently were using a computer with a built-in microphone, like a laptop.
Yeah.
They forgot to turn it off. And they were using it to tap into my phone line. Not only did we catch them, we recorded them. And Marshall Masters enhanced that and cleaned it up and enhanced it and sent it back to me. And I played it on the air the next night so their bosses could hear them. And, yeah. But it seems...
Somebody's being transferred.
You know, it stopped after that. It stopped for a long time. But it seems to kind of come in waves. And I can't imagine why they would want to tap the phone line. I am as public as you can possibly be.
And, hey, I was going to say the same thing, Kevin. Everything I know, it's out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking to folks like you around the country, different radio shows. Everything I know is in print. I'm not holding back.
Okay, now that brings up an issue. Let's say that you ran across information. A report comes in. It comes into MUFON.
Okay.
You're doing follow-up on it because it's interesting to you. You want to write an article about it. In the course of doing the follow-up, you talk with the person who reported it, and they tell you something that they didn't put in that report. What they tell you is, you know what? I've got a piece of that thing. When it took off, the front bumper fell off.
Right.
And I've got a piece of it. Would you report that?
Oh, that's a tough question. I would, if I were talking directly to the witness, I usually let the witnesses know, because it's usually not my case. It's somebody else's case. So if I step in to interview, I generally tell the witnesses that pretty much anything they tell me, I'm going to repeat it back to the original field investigator.
Mm-hmm.
But if they did have the bumper that dropped off a UFO, I would tell the guy to chain it down somewhere, because just telling me in a telephone conversation, it may be all over.
Mm-hmm.
I think within 10 or 15 minutes, he may not own that bumper anymore.
That's right. But would you put it in an article?
I probably would if it was just, if it's the witness. MUFON would be perfectly fine with that. Let's say that it was just a case where they did not tell that to the original field investigator. I would probably be a little leery of reporting it unless I had backup. I mean, I am. I may not be mainstream journalist, but I write like one.
Yeah.
So
it's the topic is not
the field investigator. I might think something's fishy, and if the field investigator's local, it might be to my advantage and to my reader's advantage if the field investigator would you know, kind of waltz over to the witness and take a look at the bumper.
Yeah.
And of course, we would want to. I mean, the witness can own it, but we would borrow it, and we would want to, you know, send it up for analysis.
Sure, sure. All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. It's Jeff from Montreal. Good evening, Mr. Marsh. Thanks for taking the call.
All right, Jeff. Thanks for the call.
Mr. Marsh, Roger, I have two questions. My first question would be, since you had a background in Chicago, how familiar you are with the story that occurred recently, or the UFO that was over the hangar in at O'Hare. And my second question to you would be, there were several questions, but the second question that I really wanted to ask you was, how do you think the media is treating this latest story with regard to the light that a lot of residents saw across the skies last night? And I'll take your answers off the air. And great show, Kevin. Thank you.
All right, Jeff. Thanks for the call.
Oh, sure. Well, the first question, I probably know, even though I was in Chicago at the time, I probably know as much about that case as anybody else does. It's basically what I picked up in the media. I do not think that was a MUFON case, which, you know, happens sometimes when it's something that gets that big media attention. It doesn't necessarily go through MUFON. I thought it was a very fascinating case, you know, great witnesses. So, again, I just would know, you know, just about as much as anybody else on that. And I'm really not, when you say lights last night, I'm not sure which case that you're referring to.
I think what he's referring to, there was a very fast-moving light that crossed several states last night. It was reported in Arizona and all the way out into California. And moving parallel to the ground. Some people say it was a meteor, and other people say it was a UFO. I didn't see it, but I have seen meteors, and they have a tail. They have a flaming tail. And so I don't know what this was, but it was reported in Arizona. It was reported in California. It was reported in Nevada. So I think that's what he's referring to.
Okay, I'd have to check the MUFON database to see if any of those reports came through MUFON.
So it's something you're just not familiar with at this point.
Right,
yeah. Okay. You know, we were talking about whether you would report something or not, and this gets into, is there a situation in which you would set on a story? And I have had one that, let me say one big one that I sat on since 2008. For very specific reasons. But I'll get your answer to that when we come back from this break. We'll be back, folks, right after this, so don't go away.
And you're listening to The Kevin Smith Show, also known as the world's hottest talk show host.
Boy, Leslie got that right. The world's hottest talk show host, blazing, sizzling talk show host. we're talking with Roger Marsh this evening. One of the leading journalists in America in the UFO field. And he is a professional journalist. And I think ufology, the field of UFOs, not just ufology, but everything having to do with UFOs, has been made much better by the presence of someone of his caliber on our side of the fence, reporting professionally about UFO sightings. Before we went to break, Roger, I asked a question, and I'm going to give our telephone number again, and then I'm going to ask that question again. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. You have an opportunity to speak to one of the giants in our field, and I encourage you to do so. The question is this. Are there situations where you, for specific reasons, sit on a story?
That would be pretty rare. I think I can only think of a single case where the case was being reported by a specific group in the country, and they were kind of fearing, the typical UFO retribution, being poked fun of. And I think after that particular report came in, which was rather exciting, they specifically asked that we not talk about it. They just wanted it. They wanted it looked into and investigated, but that would be pretty rare that something like that would happen.
Yeah.
At least the raw report, and then there's what we call the public side of it. Anybody can go into the MUFON database and see every report coming in, and the witness has to give, an overview, which is generally, could be just a couple of sentences or, 10, 12 paragraphs, which anybody can see. So I'd say that's pretty rare. I don't see that anything like that happening on a regular basis.
Well, it certainly is rare for me, but I did sit on a story since 2008. My audience already knows about this. I sat on it until it was time. And now, what determined that it was time? Well, the principal witness in this had asked me to sit on it. Until he could get forensic testing done of some of the evidence. And it took a long time because it's very expensive to get that done.
Right.
Robert Bigelow and his group did the forensic testing, or got it done. And then once that was done, I didn't sit on the story anymore. But there are times when, in order to protect the evidence,
right,
you have to drag your feet, and you have to wait in order.
Yeah.
But it is rare. But it
in that vein, for example, if we have a UFO landing, it's actually touched ground, and we did have one of those cases back in January down in Florida, and Morgan Bell was the investigator on that case, and we talked, and in fact Morgan actually came on my show, was gracious enough to come on the show and kind of give us some of the evidence, just sort of give us the basic overview that we had, multiple, I think there might have been three witnesses to that one, stretching my mind back to January, but it was a real interesting case, and there was ground evidence. And it's like you said, Kevin, we had to sit back and wait for the analysis to come back, from the labs, that sort of thing. And then I think Morgan probably broke that story in the monthly MUFON journal, told the complete story.
All right, we have a flash message here. It's from Rick. And Rick is writing to us from the UK, and he says, since you're in with MUFON, do you have any information that would lead you to believe the number of UFO sightings is going up or staying the same?
Oh, that's a great question, because that just came up, Kevin. You sort of get a feeling if you're looking into that database every day, 24/7. Somewhere in July of this year, we had an uptick in the number of reports, and I saw it coming in. And like you might go into the database and expect to see 7, 8, 9, 10, but you're seeing 35, 45, 55 reports in the same day, And I'm like, wow, this is really unusual. That uptick in reports lasted during the entire month of August. And if the listener wants to go over to examiner.com, like I said, just punch in UFO in their search engine at the top of the page, and my page will come up, and you'll see it. I just wrote that story. But it wasn't just isolated in one part of the country over here. It was all across the country. Most states were seeing, if you looked at their seven-month average, January 1st to July 31st, and added up the reports divided by seven to give them an average for those 7 months, most states were doubling. Many were tripling or higher in the number of reports coming in. So we're really not sure. I did get with MUFON on that, and they would like to see more data. They want to see what's happening in September, October, before we can really declare that we had a flap. You know, we do need the data to look at. But, yeah, right now, we're sort of on the tail end of that. It has calmed down a little bit. But I know, I can tell you right now, we're getting at least 2, 3, 4, 5 really good reports every day. I mean, things very, very close to the ground. So I'm calling it. It seems like we're in a flap, but we can't say that officially.
Okay. We just got another flash message here from Bonnie in Australia. And Bonnie wants to know, to what do you attribute the uptick in reports?
Well, again, another great question, and I wish I could answer that. I've had people, you know, actually call me and say, well, you know, MUFON just had their annual symposium. You know, the number of TV shows is always increasing. You know, the UFO reporting out there. I don't know. The population of the United States didn't suddenly change in August. We didn't suddenly have more people just heading outside. You know what I mean? It's just, I really don't know what to attribute it to. Just all of a sudden, there is this influx, you know, of activity. And again, it's not isolated. I could name the top states for you, probably, where there might have been a lot more activity. And just to name one, California was averaging about 50-51 reports per month. And in August, they had 127. That's a 249% increase, you know. But then you get states like poor Connecticut. They're used to about 3 reports a month. In August, Connecticut gets 38. I mean, that's over 1,000% increase, you know.
Yeah.
For a little state like Connecticut. I'm not saying there it's a little state, but we don't get that many reports out of Connecticut over time. And suddenly they get 38 reports in one month.
Well, you know, it could be that the reason is there were just more UFOs. That's possible.
You got it, Kevin. That's probably the simplicity. And simplicity is usually the correct answer.
Generally, it is, yeah. All right, let's go to the telephone. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hello, Bob.
I just have one question.
All right.
What has MUFON ever brought to the community with all the reports and everything going on? We seem to get a lot of reports from the K. Smith Show with just a few people and a sergeant and this or that. But with MUFON getting thousands of cases every month, what have they actually brought to the community? And are they being actually subdued by other forces because of the size of the agency? Thank you.
Okay.
Very good questions again, Kevin, because we get asked that a lot. Well, as far as MUFON being infiltrated, I mean, I in 3 years I've gotten around MUFON. You know, I know the international director, Clifford Clift. I know most of the board members. I know a lot of the state directors around the country. I'm just not seeing it myself. I just, again,
I think it's something maybe to always be leery of by any organization. But again, I'm not seeing any move on anything I've asked for or wanted to do. I just think they're great team players to me. And nobody stopped me or nobody said, don't open that door, you know, that kind of a thing. And what was the first, there was another part to that question.
Yeah, what has MUFON ever brought to the community? And by that, I think he means the UFO community.
Yeah, and keep in mind, MUFON isn't all volunteer, you know, army out there. We have a state director for every state, and every state has a chief investigator, state section directors, and then any number of field investigators. But what you'll see all around the country, like even though I'm tied to MUFON National and do work directly with them, I'm also part of Pennsylvania MUFON. And, for example, what we give to the community, and every state does this, in Pennsylvania, the state is so big that every October, we have two symposiums. We have one in Philadelphia, and we have one in the Pittsburgh area. These are two-day symposiums, and each state has to put their own money up to do this. Hopefully, we break even or we make a little bit of money. But in Philadelphia, October 15, 16, there's the Philadelphia conference, and then the following weekend in the Pittsburgh area where I'm located, October 22, 23. So what do they give back? I mean, they do offer the country as a whole, like a single place to come to report UFOs, and, you know, hundreds of people, you know, within the organization scattered all over the country, you know, really great people. And we are growing right now at a pretty good clip. The website, you're going to see a lot of changes on that website, probably, the next month or two, I'm sure we'll be unveiling that and giving you more interactive ways of getting involved in ufology. So I hope I've answered the question there. It's like we're out there plugging away and, always trying to think of new ideas, but, you know, there's a lot of new members the last 4 or 5 years, and we're working with the older members and, you know, looking for ways. You're about to see a MUFON app for your phone, if you want to report a UFO or just to see what the latest, you know, news is on UFOs. So we're out there. We're trying to improve ourselves. And if you have any suggestions, caller, you know, I'm sure you've got two state directors in California, one for Northern, Rubens up Northern, and I'm blanking on her name. I apologize. The woman in Southern California. So you've got a great team. And California is usually the leading state.
All right. We have to step away for a break, Roger. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back. And we'll be on Final Approach when we come back. So if you've been planning to call, now is the time to warm up those digits. All right. We'll see you on the other side of this break. To the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Roger Marsh. We're on Final Approach. That means we only have a few minutes left in tonight's show. And if you've been hanging in there wanting to get in and call, you've got just a couple of minutes here to do that. We have time for one or two calls here. If you do them really fast, 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. Let's talk about hoaxes.
Ooh, the H word, okay.
Yeah, the H word. You know this because in our conversation before the show, I talked about this.
Yeah.
My audience knows this. My stance on this is, are there hoaxes in the world of UFOs? Oh, yes. Numbers of them. Lots of hoaxes. So should we throw the baby out with the bathwater? And my stance on that is, well, if you're going to do that with your money, Yeah, that makes sense. Because, you know, is there counterfeit money? By the billions of dollars, there is counterfeit. So are you going to throw your money away because there's some counterfeit out there? You probably would say, no, of course not, Smith. I'm not insane. Okay, then don't be nuts about this either. There's hoaxes, but you can only hoax something if you're putting it up against something that is real. Otherwise, it's called science fiction. If it's a hoax, it's because you're trying to make it look like something that's real. So, how do you handle hoaxes?
Well, I guess the simple answer is very carefully. You know, obviously, we hate them. That's the simple part of it. It, you know, we're an all-volunteer army out there, and it really slows us down when people put these stories in our database, because we have to follow up, Kevin, on every report. And I've come up with nicknames for things. Like, I tend to call it the drunken college student, you know, who's, you know, on his laptop on a Saturday night and decides, I can write a better story than that, you know. And it's 9 times out of 10, the hoaxer wants a laugh out of it, and they're going to file a report, and they're going to give you a phony phone number and a phony email address. So it's over with pretty quickly. But then you have other people who want to take it, you know, further. And I've been hoaxed myself. Somebody came at me with a story, and, you know, here's a photograph, and I didn't want to run it. And I kind of argued with the guy, well, you got to report it first, you know. And so I was very cautious with that. And I think I learned my lesson over that run everything through MUFON, you know, through the greater database, and look at it. So I don't know. I would just hope that people would, you know, get a hobby, you know, do something else.
Well, I would say this to any hoaxer: if you're doing that and you're not getting a check from the government, you're an idiot.
Right.
All right. Now we have one more flash message I want to get to. This is from Harold in Australia, and he wants to know how you have been treated by your mainstream media colleagues now that you're across the fence.
Oh, very well. Very, very, very well. Because I actually get calls constantly from all the networks call. It could be a Fox News affiliate, you know, Kansas City, and they'll say, hey, we read your story, it's in our area, we want to follow up, you know, and I'll help them out. I'll lead them to the right people within MUFON, you know, right to the investigator, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the network TV shows, you know, most of them, they may call me for help with an episode. Hey, we really like that story of that, you know, UFO in California. Can you help us with an upcoming episode? But I would say that just there's a very small percentage of the mainstream journalists that, I don't know who they're trying to please, if it's a boss, you know, somebody that's heading up their newsroom. But personally, I've been treated very well. Very, very well.
Well, you know, I'm an ex-cop. And I find that cops are willing to talk with me off the record. Quite openly about UFOs and things that they have seen. You know, while you're asleep at night, the cops in your city are roaming the streets.
Right.
And they see things that they never are allowed to tell you about. And
right.
It's not going to go in their report that it was a UFO. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
But they see things. They know there are realities that don't fit the establishment model. They know that. And I'll tell you something else. Roger, they know that the model is every single day more and more and more out of step with reality.
Yep.
And it's not just, you know, it's not static. Reality is becoming more visible, and the model is being shown to be more outdated and more foolish. And they know that, and they'll talk with me about it. So I guess it's kind of the same as with mainstream media reporters and journalists.
Yeah.
They know something's up.
Yeah. Or it's the case that maybe they're calling me to do a story, but they're not allowed to cover this on a regular basis, so maybe they're kind of excited about it a little bit, too.
Mm-hmm. So they sort of use you as a resource?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, journalists across the country use me as a resource, and it's usually just I give them a helping hand, get them from point A to point B, who do they talk to, and I'm glad to do it, you know, always. I've, you know, never turned a journalist down, you know, radio, TV, print, you know, they all call me, and it's you know, it's kind of neat. I had one network call me, and I guess they were doing research for an upcoming show, and they said all roads lead to Roger Marsh. I said, why? And they said, try Googling anything and UFOs, you know. You're on the first page there somewhere.
Well, that's a good thing, and let's talk about that just for a moment here, because we're just about out of time. I want people to be able to get to your articles and read your articles quickly. So they can Google just UFO, and they'll find Roger Marsh articles everywhere. But also, they can go to examiner.com, right?
Right. Yeah, well, one of two ways. If you Google Roger Marsh UFO, you're going to come right in my front door. Or you could go to, like you said, examiner.com. In the upper right corner, they have a search engine, you know, for their site, examiner.com. Just type in the acronym UFO, and I'll pop up as the first in that list. Click on that, and there I am, my daily reports.
All right. How's it feel to be first?
How does it feel to be what?
First.
Feels great.
Yeah. Roger, I want to thank you for being with us. Boy, I'll tell you, 2 hours has gone in a hurry, and I appreciate you giving us your time this evening, and I happen to know that that was not easy for you, and I know why, and I really appreciate it. If you will, stay on the phone with me for just a moment while I land the KSS Starship. This flight is over, folks. We are out of time. Make sure that your seats are in the upright position, your trays are put away, and your seat belts are on. If you are not receiving our newsletter, why not? It's called the K-Files. It's free. Subscribe right now. Okay? My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. And you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.